If you have a Bible, turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 17, first book in your Bible, in Genesis chapter 17. We'll read a short passage of Scripture, make reference to its context, and see if there might be something in it for us today. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. As you're turning there, have you ever given thought to your prayers? I don't know if you ever do that, but I find that the more I read my Bible, the more I try to just be sure that I'm walking in the mind of God, I try to figure out what it is that might be causing me to resist Him a little bit or to miss His leading. And I think sometimes if we would give some thought to our own prayers, we might find that there's a conflict between our prayers and God's plan and purpose. Now, this is not a deep thought. We're not going to approach it in some deep thought or some deep doctrine. It really is just a matter of the fact that we get certain things in our mind, and being human, being finite, being limited in our grasp, we tend to see things from those eyes. This story in Genesis 17, when I think of this, is sparked by this. You know, sometimes we have a conflict. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Simon Peter's mind was on a whole different track or path than the Lord had going that he was going to have to lead that night and that next day. In John 13, the Lord had something going there that Simon Peter just couldn't grasp when it came time to get his feet washed. And he went from not so Lord to wash my whole body to finally just run up the white flag and saying, okay, Lord, just teach me. I heard a fellow not too long ago praying over the morning service at a church. And, you know, he was asking God to do what was on his heart. And as I sat there listening, I thought, Lord, we're this way, aren't we? We tend to ask you to put our purpose into action. And I began to think about those things again, as I have in many other times. And so I want to look at Abraham's prayer as God reveals it to us, and then as it relates to God's plan and purpose. We're going to think about your prayer or God's purpose. Sometimes the two are not matching. In Genesis 17 and verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now, there were two people, Abram and Sarai. And God specifically called out to Abraham and said to him that I'm going to use you in a special way, Abram, obey me. And off they went to follow God. Abram following God, Sarai following Abram. The Lord said, my plan includes multiplying your offspring. At that point in their life, they had no offspring. Time passed, and as time does to us, time created an urgency. When the urgency got created, they got creative. And pretty soon, Sarai had talked to Abram into having a child by her handmaid. Lest you run off and talk about Abraham doing wrong and sinning and this be a child of adultery and all that, you better read your Bible. God considered her a wife and etc. You just read your Bible, read your King James Bible. You say, well then why didn't God just make that the seed? Because that wasn't God's plan and purpose. He was not going to let them get creative. And so God wasn't going to use Ishmael. God had a plan and a purpose. Time went on. Abraham got to be 100 years old. Sarah 90 years old, and now God comes to them and says, Sarah is going to have a son herself. And in response to that, Abraham's prayer is, look at verse 18, please, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Verse 19, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now, in these Hebrew people's lives, their names 90% of the time had meaning. It's not uncommon today. Walk into a gift store and you'll see key rings or different things that'll have someone's name and then its definition or applied definition to it. In this case, Isaac is synonymous with the word laughter. Abraham's laugh in verse 17 is not the laugh of excitement, it's the laugh of skepticism. It's like, as the Aussies would say, there's Buckley's of that, mate. Fat chance. Not a chance. One in a million. In Abraham's mind, it wasn't even one in a million. Look what he says. Sarah, thy wife, verse 19, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Ishmael's offspring became the great enemy, the great resister, Galatians says, persecutor of Isaac. So Abraham's prayer goes at 90 degrees against God's prayer, plan and purpose. Verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So look at Abraham's prayer while God is right there with him revealing his own plan and purpose. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to Abraham. And I don't know about you, but I can pretty much attest that most people I've spoken with who were candid and honest will tell you they can look back and find where it was either their prayer or God's purpose that needed to happen, but the two were across each other. Not in rebellion. Not in a resistance. In Abraham's case, we know he laughed because as far as he was concerned, there wasn't any chance of that. Fat chance of that. In other words, in Abraham's mind, this just wasn't going to happen. And so we see faith in that. Let's make some observations and see what we can grab out of this passage. And let me say this. I'm putting this forth to you because of the help it is to me at times to back up, get in that book, listen to God's voice and say, Lord, against all human reasoning, I will trust you to do what your plan and purpose is. Number one, as we look at this passage, the Lord has a plan and a purpose for Abraham and Sarah. It was a plan that wouldn't be completed in their lifetime. If you would go on and read Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Abraham and Sarah didn't see all the offspring. Abraham and Sarah didn't get to see all those things. It was a plan that wouldn't be completed in their lifetime, and God's plan and purpose for your life will not be completed in your lifetime because that would be a very short plan or purpose. God's plan or purpose for every believer is that things go on after you that He used you to do. We're not talking about organizations. We're not talking about systems. We're not talking about institutions. In fact, most institutions should cease to exist when the founder does and the next person have their own institution, if you'll read your Bible. But we'll move on. A plan that wouldn't be completed. A plan that wandered them their entire life. I was listening to a dear brother preach. He's just a little while ago gone to be with the Lord, but for 50 or 60 years, God had him on the road. And so he wandered his entire life. A lot of people, many of you are pastoring or serving in a place that would never have been your choosing in this life. You are displaced your entire life because you're in the place of service God wants you to be. It was a plan that wandered them there. It was a plan that went beyond sight. Sarah's body is dead. As far as Abraham knows, his body is dead. And so this plan went beyond sight. And any real plan of God, any real purpose of God goes beyond human sight. It has to, or it wouldn't be of God. And it wouldn't glorify God, and it wouldn't demonstrate Him. Beware if my promotional fundraising and promotion and promotion and promotion and psychology that you can accomplish something, beware of thinking that's of God. Oh, do we have to do our preaching? Yes. Do we have to do our praying? Yes. And this was a plan. The Lord has a plan and a purpose for Abraham and Sarah. And the Lord has a plan and purpose for every single believer's life. And it was a plan that they wrestled with. And what they wrestled with was what they could see was Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Abraham's prayer is about Ishmael. Notice his prayer wasn't, okay, Lord, I believe that. And by the way, what do you want me to do about this Ishmael? What do you want me to do about this time where, because time delayed and I became creative in my own way, trying to answer your plan and purpose, Lord, what do I do with him? It was a plan that they wrestled with. You know, if you're not careful, you're going to spend so much time and energy trying to visualize your future life. Young people are horrible about this. And the world promotes it, and self promotes it, and Bible colleges promote it. And what happens is you get all tangled up, and you cannot see the forest for the trees because you're wrestling with God's plan. The Lord has a plan, and the Lord has a purpose for Abraham and Sarah, and He does for you. And then let's note, secondly, that Abraham has a prayer that is contrary. Abraham has a prayer that is contrary. His prayer was sincere. No doubt about it. It was sincere. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham loved the Lord. Abraham's walking the extra mile. Abraham's wanting to be the friend to God, the best friend to God he could possibly be. No doubt about it. That's what Abraham wants. His prayer was sincere. But Abraham's prayer was subject to the laws of sight and science and shortcuts. Abraham's prayer was subject to the law of sight, what he could see. It was subject to the laws of science, falsely so called, the condition of Sarah's body. And it was subject to shortcuts. They'd already taken one. They'd taken this shortcut, and as far as Abraham was concerned, he had a prayer that was contrary to God's plan and purpose, but his prayer made perfectly good sense. He was sincere in his heart. He expected God to use this shortcut because that's what he could see, and that's what science told him was the only real alternative. You know, if you're not careful, and I'm just talking about your individual life. Listen, over 99% of us are never going to be well known like D.L. Moody was, or Torrey, or Finney, or some of the people that God used like Corrie Ten Boom and all that sort. You're not going to be necessarily like a Fanny Crosby. You're not going to be like an Amy Carmichael. If you're not careful, you've got this big old plan going, and God and your prayers are always that way. And God says, no, I can't let you be subject to the laws of sight or science or shortcuts. And Abraham's prayer was satisfied with the carnal. Oh, he wasn't out drinking and partying and being worldly, okay? But see, their fix was carnal. Ishmael was the carnal solution. Ishmael was what they could feel. Ishmael was what they could arrange. Ishmael was keep you busy. Ishmael was activity. Ishmael was we got to do something. God says, really? I don't remember telling you to do something about it yet. Lord, we've waited long enough. I just don't know if I can wait any longer. The Lord says, oh, you can. And you will. And I have a plan and a purpose. So the Lord has a plan and a purpose for Abraham and Sarah. And then the Lord Abraham has a prayer that is contrary to it. Now maybe at this time or at some point in your life, there's going to be a time of introspection, contemplating, looking at yourself, okay, in your prayers. And say, Lord, has my prayer become contrary to your plan and purpose? Is my prayer sincere in that I do want to follow you, but I'm allowing myself to be subject to the laws of sight and the laws of science and shortcuts? Listen, quit planning your life. Now listen, that doesn't mean you don't plan your day, as in, I'm going to get up, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do my duties, I'm going to do my work, etc., etc. That's fine. Give us this day. But when it comes to your prayers about what God's going to do, they need to be submitted to God's plan and purpose. Look at God's answer to Abraham's prayer in verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Now you do what you want. But I got a feeling, since tone of voice communicates a lot of things, okay? I just got this feeling, this idea in my mind, that God's tone of voice was persistent. So the Lord had a persistence. In this passage, the Lord has a persistence about His plan. And praise God for His persistence. I don't know about you, but Lord, don't let my pitiful sentimentality get in the way. That's my prayer many a time. Lord, do not let my pitiful human sentimentality get in the way of what you're doing. Because, Lord, I am human and you know my frame. I am but dust. And, Father God, just don't let me get in the way all the time. Praise God for His persistence. Look, God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. I cannot imagine the Lord saying that like some monotone computer signal coming out of a phone somewhere. I just can't imagine that. Do what you want with it. But I know this, the Lord has a persistence. Now, have you ever had a conflict of interest? You see, sometimes our human sentimentality, how we feel about others. Ready? How we feel about how others feel. Oh, yeah. What others are going to think of what we need to see God do. How much faith will it take, and how much of God will it take for it to happen? What about this? You ready? What about when, in the end, he had to send Ishmael off? How about this? In Genesis 22, he told him to take him up a mountain for 3 days and three nights. He deals with this. He gets there. He puts Isaac on the altar, this special child, and he is to the point that he is going to do it. And then the angel of the Lord says, stop. And so Abraham has to decide, do I obey God in this? Do I persist in myself? Which we'll talk about in a minute. See, the Lord has a persistence. Do you know God's purpose and plan for His church? Do you? Do you know God's purpose and plan for church meetings? Do you realize God's purpose and plan for a typical average Christian, for an everyday believer, which is what we are? You are first and foremost a believer, a Christian. If you're going to build a foundation, if you're going to put on a piece of paper, however wide that building is going to be, draw that bottom part and put in there Christian man or Christian woman or Christian teenager, and then list the things that are part of an every single everyday Christian's life. And those things have to be in your life. And from there, we build upon that. And one of the things that's happening here is Abraham has gotten himself into a situation where he is pushing against the Lord's persistence. God said, here's what I want to have happen. Now, Abraham's prayer is running contrary to it. The Lord has a plan and a purpose. Abraham has a prayer that's contrary, and the Lord has a persistence. And that brings us on down to look at what has to happen in Abraham's life. Abraham has a point of surrender here. Abraham has a point of surrender. In immediate context, in verses 23 through the end of the chapter, he took himself and Ishmael and his male servants, and he circumcised them. Okay? He did that, and Abraham was 90 years old in 9, verse 24. At 99 years old, he's at a crossroads. He's at a cutting point. Now, here's what happened later. Later, he had to send Ishmael away. Later, he had to go up Mount Moriah. Later, he has to sever certain relationships. Later, he had to lay her in the grave. And of course, later, he had to go and be with his Lord. Here's what had to happen for Abraham's prayer to get in harmony with God's plan and purpose. He had to cross his will to accept God's purpose and plan. His prayer needed to change for his prayer life to be in line with God. There is a sense in which every believer should periodically ask themselves, is it my prayer or God's purpose that I need to choose? You see, if you're not careful and if I'm not careful, my prayer ends up running across God's plan or purpose. It can happen because of a lack of faith. See, it can happen because we're living by sight or science or shortcuts. It can be, we can be sincere, and yet at the very same time, we could be becoming satisfied with an earthly solution. You see, the Lord has a persistence because He has a plan or purpose, and really, you and I are a little tiny part of that. If you're not careful, you'll think that God's plan and purpose is all about your life. But it's not. It's about His glory and His body and His church and His gospel. It's not about you and me. One of the things that I believe with all my heart that has become a stumbling block for Christian young people, I mean teenagers, 20-somethings, etc., is this constant emphasis that the church at large or these, you know, colleges and things have picked up of the world, and that is it's about your life and it's about you and you and you and you and you, and it is not. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. God wasn't, His whole plan and purpose wasn't to honor Abraham individually and only. It was that God would get the glory for establishing a whole people named after a man in the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who became named Israel by God. Okay? The plan and purpose, really, it's not about us. We're just supposed to be a part of it. And so sometimes our prayer life, here's why it's so important. When you're praying for something, that's what you're looking for. When you're praying for something, that's what you're expecting. I know people that have gotten away from God because it didn't come to pass the way they wanted it or the way they pictured it. Why, my Heavenly Father is not obligated to. Now listen, it's one thing for God to put a calling on your life and you pray over it and stick and be faithful and hang in there and endure. That's fine. That's great. It's what Paul did when he's in prison, etc., etc. What Joseph did when he was in the pit and in the palace and then all the way down to the prison again. That's what he did. He was faithful to God. But the Lord has a plan and a purpose. And the Lord has a persistence. So when our prayer runs contrary to Him, what we're to do is we're to come to a point of surrender where we have to just cross our will and cross our mind and cross our thinking and cross our emotions and stop making it about us and make it all about Him. Father, I pray you take this simple thought today. Lord, I don't know who needs it. Don't know who has this thing in their life, but I know I've faced it before. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us at the times when it's needed, to realize that sometimes it's our prayer or your purpose, but only one of the two can come to pass. And may we every time choose your purpose and your plan by bringing our prayer in line with it. I pray it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.